Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Praise the Lord forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every word that has been spoken this morning. Thank you. We will have what we say. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for this word, Lord, is our testimony, is our experience. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. You are a good God, Father. Right this moment, Lord, I ask you that you open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear. Lord God Almighty, you have your expectations of us. Lord, let us know them and walk in them. Thank you for utterance, Father. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Thank you for the eyes of our understanding are flooded with light. And we know the hope of your glory. Thank you for you think through my mind and you speak through my lips. I bless your name, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Please have your seat in God's presence. Thank you, Hill City. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Wow. What a service. Thank you, Lord. Welcome to church. Good to see you, Amara. Good to see you. Welcome. We thank the Lord. God be praised forevermore. God's presence can be so palpable sometimes. You don't even. But I thank God that He's always here with us. Every service, God shows up. Thank you, Father. Okay, so first of all, I want to really appreciate everyone. Last Sunday was our Mothering Sunday, and I mean the mothers were they were on another realm. They were on another realm. It was a beautiful service. Thank you all for being here, for blessing us so greatly, particularly or specifically for blessing me with the amazing surprise, a very pleasant one. Thank you so much, everyone. I'm truly grateful. I'm honored. Grateful for the gift of all of you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless all of you. In the name of Jesus. Okay. I won't say more than that. Let's get to the word. Amen. Jeremiah 35. So this month we've been on Kings and Priests, and the last time, that's 2 Sundays ago, basically from when we started, I remember that we have been on getting to, number one, first week, understanding or being conscious of who we are as priests and as kings, the consciousness of who the Lord has made us to be. And second Sunday, we talk about the making of a priest, and even though I was struggling with time, I was beating it 1-0. It was beating me 1-1. Praise the Lord. Amen. But anyway, I try to, as the Lord will have us understand, what it means to be a priest and our expectations, God's expectation of us as priests, consecrations that make a priest. Amen. And we saw that God is interested in every part of our lives, from our outward appearance, we remember that, to our hearts and everything that pertains our service unto God. God is interested in that. Amen. So it's not about, Lord, you know my heart. You know my heart. It's more than that. It's not, Lord, you know I wanted to do it. It's more than that. Praise the Lord. So I know I read this scripture, or at least I quoted it last 2 weeks. So, but I want to, read it a bit more today. So this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Sorry. There's something that the Spirit of God just reminded me, because he had wanted me to say that, we are believers. Amen. And we are led by the Spirit of God. We ought to be led by the Spirit of God. You know that you can want to do something for someone, right? And the Lord will say something to you. Maybe you couldn't prepare all you wanted to do. And the Lord tells you, do this. Now, it's not like, my daughter, my son. You just felt, okay, let me do this. And you will be doing the will of God. Exactly. Sometimes it's when we want to do too much. Now, it's when you want to do that thing that you step out of God's will. What I'm saying, I was giving that example on Wednesday, and yes, I think early this morning or yesterday, the Lord will have me say it again, that if I have an impression in my heart to give, give Sister Jedi 200 naira, now I know that she's 200 naira is small, I can say to myself, how will I be giving her 200 naira? Now, she didn't ask me. You know, she said, then just when you took them 200, it would be a different thing. I'll quickly give her. But if it comes to my heart, give her 200. Why should I give her 200 now? It's not too small. Let me wait. At least when I have 20K. Do you understand? Meanwhile, she needed 200 naira. Probably there's somebody that's asked her for transport. She's even looking around. Why should I get 200 naira to give this person? And the Lord said to me, give her 200. Now I'm being in my head planning the big things. I miss exactly what God will have you do. Praise the Lord. Everything, I know the Lord teaches me with everything. And I was saying, I can tell you, I can say it here because with family, the giftings people gave me on Sunday was like I made a list. Almost like I made a list. I was talking to my sister Claire. One thing I was telling my husband on Saturday, I said, see your wife thing has finished. So I need to buy this. I was just playing around it. I said, see this thing, it has finished. Made it there. I mean, on Saturday, I was telling her, see this, it's not something big. Now, the person was gisting me, said, you just got talking. I said, do you know it? She now told me, I was telling her something. You know, it's me that even put that there. I was planning to go to the market and buy something that is presentable. But I just said, I couldn't, I didn't make it again. So I just went down the streets and she was being led. Now imagine she said, it's too small. Let me leave it. Another time, just say, and I'll go to market on Monday. Now you go to the market and buy everything in the market and not buy that thing. You are in disobedience. Do you see that? I'm saying to you, we are being led. So don't wait till, say, give this person 20 naira. Say, no. How can I give 20 naira? Let me wait till I can leave that thing. We are being led. You have half painter of rice or half painter of garri. So how can I give somebody only half painter or two cups? The person will drink the garri first. Maybe that two cups is all he needed to soak and drink first. Will not be thinking of the half painter. Give the two cups of garri. Are you feeling what I'm saying? God did not call us to be, we don't walk by our senses anymore. No, of course, get what I'm saying. We are not led. You make use of your senses, but we're not led by it. So when there are things, strange things God will tell you. Don't let your senses talk you out of it. Sometimes he tells you, follow this way. For what? No, let me follow this way. There's a reason he said, follow that way. Just follow there. Leave all the, the road. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you follow what I'm saying? Don't ever think, no, you are being led. You are meeting exactly what God will have you do. That's what you're doing. Anytime there's too much, back and forth in your brain, know that God has said something and your senses want you out of it. Praise God. Did that bless somebody? Okay, let's go ahead. Go to the Rechabite. God was instructing Jeremiah. go to the Rechabite family and invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. So I went to get Jazaniah, son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, all these Niahs, and his brothers and all his sons, the whole family of the Rechabites. Somebody, you need to get somebody up. I don't know, it's not leaving me. You need to buy up and give to somebody. It's not small. You need to get up and give to somebody. You know who? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Please do that. Or just, I mean, you know what I mean by Opa now. Opa is good. Give it to that person. I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the room of the sons of Hanan, sons of Idalia, man of God. Now, on Wednesday, I thought from here also on Wednesday, because this scripture will not leave me and I will not leave it. Amen. Say why? But then I want you to see something from here. So God had called Jeremiah. He says, go and call these Rechabites, who, by the way, are not the people of God. You know that. He says, bring them. He brought them into the house of where? Into the room of the sons of Hanan, son of Idalia, the man of God. Into the room of the man of God was where he was hosting the unbelievers. That's close enough, Abby. Like too close, you might add, right? It was next to the room of the officials, which was over that of Maaseiah, son of Shalom, the doorkeeper. Go on. Then I set bowls full of wine and some cups before the men of the Rechabite family, and said to them, drink some wine. But they replied. So Jeremiah is a prophet, remember that. You know, invites you, gives you wine, say, drink some wine. But they replied, we do not drink wine, because our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command. Neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. Also, you must never build houses, sow seed, or plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things, but must always live in tents. Then you will live a long time in the land where you are nomads. Let's read together. We have obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. Neither we, nor our wives, nor our sons and daughters have ever drunk wine, or built houses to live in, or had vineyards, fields, or crops. Who gave them this instruction? It says, we have lived in tents and have fully obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab commanded us. Can you imagine that? But when Nebuchadnezzar, now he's trying to say, this is why we are now living here. So we have remained in Jerusalem. Go ahead, next verse. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, go on. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Go and tell the men of Judah and the people of Israel, will you not learn a lesson and obey my words? Declares the Lord. Go on. Jonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his sons not to drink wine, and his command has been kept. To this day, they do not drink wine. I hope you know. Now, Jonadab is dead. Rechab is dead. I mean, these people are not even like the third generation. They are like plenty generations after the instruction. He says, because they obeyed their forefather's command. To this day, they do not drink wine because they obeyed their forefather's command. But I have spoken to you again and again. Yet, you have not obeyed me. Go on. Again and again, I sent all my servants, the prophets, to you. They said, each of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your actions. Do not follow other gods to serve them. Then you will live in the land I have given to you and your father. So there's also a promise to theirs. But you have not paid attention or listened to me. How sad. The descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, have carried out the command their forefather gave them. But these people have not obeyed me. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring on Judah and on everyone living in Jerusalem every disaster I pronounced against them. I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called to them, but they did not answer. Go ahead. Then Jeremiah said to the family of the Rechabites, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Now see, this is God talking to the Rechabites. He says, you have obeyed the command of your forefather Jonadab and have followed all his instructions and have done everything he ordered. Go ahead. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never fail to have a man to serve me. Do you see that? Let me tell you why this has stayed with me. I've just been thinking about it. So, these people, how did they have the tenacity? How did they have come to that point where they can just stay at this point, at this place of obedience? So, their fathers had given an instruction. They wanted to obey, and they're obeying, and they're just there. So how did they come to terms with the fact that this is our life and they're living it? Remember, they are not God's people, in quote. Now, think about it in line with our lives, our generation today as believers. How that God gives us instructions and we can take a whole year, we've not stepped into it. We are praying that the Lord will give us grace. We are praying to be sure. Sometimes specific things the Bible says that is white and we are banking on God's mercy. God is merciful. So how is that? How is it that we struggle to keep God's commands like the Israelites have been struggled to? And men could stand firm in obedience to an instruction their fathers gave them. Can we think about that? No, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. No, they were not born again. No, they were not God's people. God did not put his name on them like he did the Israelites. I'm saying they are human beings like we are. So how were they able to generations? He says their sons, their daughters, their wives. So they are able to communicate these things generation after generation and they were standing firm. Doing it in obedience, even when they were no longer in that land. They have moved at this point, at this time. Yet, they were still in obedience. People leave Nigeria and go to abroad, and the unborn again, they become something else, is what I'm trying to say. You wonder, were they really born again before? I mean, they just relocated. So I'm just saying that because these people also relocated. So I want us to think about it, really. So is it possible that when God made us, he made us with the ability to walk in obedience? Are you thinking with me? Is it possible that God made us and he made us that we are able to make resolve and keep it? Make a decision and stand on it? Do you think that's possible? That he made us to be as stable as he is. Such that you can say, I'm not going to do this anymore. And you are able to not do it anymore. You know, when I was in school, there's this my friend who is from the state where I schooled. And she had this uncle who we always joke with when we see. So he used to be addicted with Coca-Cola. You know, drinking Coca-Cola. So one day he said he was not going to take Coca-Cola again. And that was the end of it. Just the way he said, I won't take it again. The way he never took it again. But you know, somebody can say, I won't take it again. Maybe they'll not reduce it from 3 a day to 2.5 to 2. And maybe they'll not go back to 3. Like that. And finally, they end up in 5. I'm saying, God help me. In Genesis chapter 11, Men made up their mind. We want to build a tower that will get to heaven. It just came to their minds. What we want to do now is I want to go and stay in heaven with God. So since we can't fly, let's build a tower. They started to build. You know, God said, no, Gabriel, come make we go see what these people do for that. These people, they are really, but there is a coup. Let's go down. And the Bible says, when he came and saw what they were doing, even God was impressed. Do you understand? God himself was impressed. He said, people can put their mind to something and make it happen. He said, but shall I not be my will with this one? So it will succeed. His sovereignty came in it. That's why it didn't work out. Not that they couldn't make it happen. Do you understand? So how is it that we decide to do things and excuse ourselves, you know, give yourself excuses why you can't keep that thing? And now we have the Holy Ghost. How is it that we can make a decision and not be able to keep it for even 7 days? When was the last time you finished a book? Do you understand? Somebody said last week. Awesome. Great. I like that. Because I realized that this brain can be trained. So when you start something, yes, I will start. You start and you quit. You stop halfway. Okay, I will learn this one. I will learn emotional intelligence. Halfway, you leave it. Okay, I will now go and learn how to do graphics. You learn, it's too hard. You leave it. You've done 5 businesses in 5 years. You're about to start the 6th one. Do you understand? You are telling your brain that it's okay to quit. If it doesn't seem like it's working, leave it. What happens is that when you even want to do the one you want to do, there's struggle. If you've not read for 5 years, bring a book to read. You'll be in 1 chapter, 1 hour. You are still reading one paragraph. Your brain will zone out. Because it doesn't understand what you're trying to do. You are struggling. Doesn't it happen to you? Praise the Lord. My message to us today is that the Lord will have us make up our minds. Make up your mind. One, to be separate. You know, how the Bible says, come out of them and be separate. Make up your mind to stand for the Lord. Make up your mind to do the things God has called you to do. He says you have the ability to make up your mind and keep it. Hallelujah. You can make up your mind to dominate your space. You can make up your mind and the light of God will shine everywhere you are. And you see to it that it is so. Believers have the right to fire people, even when you're not the leader. You can cause somebody to just evacuate from that place just because you are there. But most times we are the one hiding. They should not even see me. Let me just be mind. Just be there. Let me mind my space. It's awfully quiet. Hallelujah. So it seems that we need a lot of push to get things done in this age. It seems that we need a lot of push to do things. Honestly, it feels to me that we're going out to even reach out for souls is now very secondary. I didn't put it down. We're saying the one that you're even doing, you know, the tenacity to stay on it is a prayer point. So I come bearing good news because most times we stay and be praying for grace to do what we have been graced to do. And you're just letting the grace just be hanging over your head until God just said, you're not serious. Romans 5:17. The Bible says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in where? in this life through the one, Jesus Christ. Do you have the gift of righteousness? So do you have grace? He says what? Abundance of grace. Hallelujah. Abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. So we believe we have the gift of righteousness because I'm the righteousness of God. But when it comes to grace, you are always, always asking and asking for grace. Hallelujah. I like to usually give this example. It's funny because I said, because we are believers, we delight in the Lord. You know what you should, I know what I should wear. Do you understand? There are things that I won't look at them twice. When I go to buy clothes, you see clothes hanging. There are clothes you will see. This one, uncle. You don't give them a second thought. And no, I don't say, give me a moment, let me pray. And then I go and say in one corner, Lord, I want to buy clothes. Please help me. Short one, I don't want. But I was given the right defense. You don't do it. You look at the clothes. I'm saying that in your spirit tells you that this is good. And you just buy it. Now, I'm not saying prayer is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that it is not the time of execution that is time. You now start praying as though. You come to buy things. You just buy them because you feel at peace in your heart. You like them. You buy them. So it is coming to church. You have to debate. Should I come? I was too tired. I had a very rough week. Should I sleep? Should I come? Should I sleep? Should I come? Should I join online? Thank God for online. Thank God for online. It comes to your heart. Go and further your academics. Get a master's. Lord, is it you? 5 years will pass. Are you following me? God will say, go and learn a skill. He knows that at so time, he's going to bring a particular opportunity your way that needs that skill. You will not learn it because you're asking him, is it your will? Until the opportunity is finally there. And you say, if I knew, I would have led. Listen, I said, we are being led. We are being led. Hallelujah. So I said what? You are abundantly graced. You have received abundance of grace. Ephesians 4:7 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Grace was on what? Given. Then Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now listen to what it says. And his grace toward me was not in vain. How is that? But I labored more abundantly. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. It says, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Present tense. The grace was with me. And because the grace was with me, I'm able to labor more than everybody else. Are you following what I'm saying? So we don't stay and be waiting. We are doing. As we are moving, grace is moving with you. As you are moving, grace is moving with you. As you are doing, that's when you see the hand of the Lord. That's when you see that, I'm actually graced for this. If I never started to preach, I will not know, you can increase in grace to preach. I can be there, hey, Jesus, Onye, me, I run away, I relocate, find out, please, I run away. And that's how I'll be there and die. Do you understand? But when you start doing, you see that you were graced to do, and the more you are doing, the more you are experiencing the grace of God to do more. So don't tell me you are waiting for grace. You have it already. That's a good news. You have it already. You have it already. Say, I have it already. It's so beautiful because it's not only that you have, it says, he's able to make you abound. He's able to make all grace abound towards you. Abound towards you. So you are never without his grace. You are breathing is by his grace. It means the grace is available to do what he has called you while you are still breathing. Do you get that? Because if you are breathing, you are alive, you have an assignment. So he will not just give you grace to be breathing and not the grace to do while you are breathing. You are kings. And kings are given authority to do or are given power to exercise authority. Maybe I should put it that way. You are graced to fulfill purpose. Hallelujah. So you are standing in grace, amen? You are starting off in grace, amen? And you have the assurance that that grace is never running out. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. I want to say to somebody, you are heavily backed by God. You are heavily backed by God. You are heavily. Say it to somebody. Say, you are heavily backed by God. Come on, say it boldly. You are heavily backed by God. You are heavily backed by God. Heavily, 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 heavily. See, if we understand this, that fear, that timidity Satan projected, you say, ta to it. I am heavily backed by God. But he brings those thoughts, those fears, so that, you know, they are on the highlight, that they are the focus. And you forget, fear not. Isaiah 41 verse 10. He said, what? Fear not. We used to sing that song. It's an Igbo song that we used to sing when we are in our Orthodox church. Atulebu gikam nonye. Atulebu gikam. 41:10. Elelanya buru buru nojo. Nihi na momwembu Jehova gi. Gabagume nyere gaga kwagide gi ngeji akari nkesi omume kwagide. It's just this song. That's just the Igbo of this song. It's just the Igbo of this verse. I don't know. I am heavily backed by God. Fear not, for I am with you. Come on, let's read that together. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous. Go ahead. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. Go ahead. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. Ah, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Hallelujah. Fear not, you won't, TCC. You men of the Cornerstone Church, I will help you, says the Lord and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Go ahead. Behold, I will make you a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains. Who shall thresh? Who shall thresh? And beat them small and make the heels like shaft. Go on. You shall win on them. The wind shall carry them away and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory and the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. Sometimes let's take these words and just be basing and be reading it to yourself. I am heavily backed by God.
Ah, Satan hopes that you don't get into it. That's all he can do. You know, so, see, I used to say that it's nothing to you, a believer. Satan can't beat a believer. It's not possible. He just hopes you don't get to the consciousness of who you are. Hallelujah. He just hopes. God Almighty has made you a promise. Is he able to keep it? Because sometimes we act as though, Lord, I'm not too sure. See? Do you understand? We don't say it, but we act it. We act it. You are doing a business. You say, ah, now, maybe the one you get products and it takes you 1 month to sell off. And all of a sudden, here in your heart, get a bigger warehouse. Satan, be on my back. Meanwhile, the Lord had given you an instruction. And then there's an opportunity. Oh, do you have a warehouse? I really need a place to, you know, you just sell it off. Just give me the capital, that's all. And you don't have a space. Hey, is that why you came to my life? We are not natural people. We are supernatural people. Our lives are ordered by the Lord. You know, sometimes we act like God will watch us enter into ditches. His children, God is not like that. You are heavily backed by God. God will not let his child. You know, what keeps us, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's fine. That thing of, am I sure? As though your father God will watch his child enter a ditch and leave his child in that ditch. And then they say, you did not ask me very well, so you stay there. Will you do it to your child? No matter how you say it 10 times and they finally fall, you still, upon why? I told you, you still carry the child and be, I told you. But you carry the child. You will do what? Reroute the child. Even, the one in my head now is Siri. But what do they call it? Who is the name of the one that gives Google GPS? Alaska, right? Alex, yes, there's Alexia. No doubt. Thank you. No matter how angry you know, no matter how you change, Alex is saying turn right, you turn left. He reroutes you again. Okay, now turn right. He said no, it's left. He will not say you are mad. Do you understand? He will not say, you know, go and lost. He will just keep quiet and start doing what? In that quietness. Is recalibrating. Okay, how do I help this human being now? This stiff-necked human being. How do I help him? That's what God does with us. They learned it from God. That when you are, it seems like you have even gone far away, God keeps quiet. Huh? This human being, who should I send into this my harvest? Who should I, how will I, there's what going on, which was what happened after the fall. So the plan of God was truncated. And after they tried to, okay, let's, it may not be an easy turn, but it will leave you in the ditch. He says the righteous will fall 7 times, but you are getting up. Your back is never staying on the ground. Why? You have a God who is a good father, who is mindful that you are flesh. Hallelujah. He will never leave you. He will never leave you. Says, what can separate you from the love of God? What can separate you? When you read Proverbs 18:10, it says, the righteous, the name of the Lord is a fortress. The righteous run into it and they are safe. I want you to understand something with me. We are heavily guarded. You fall to the right, you fall onto the lap of God. You fall to the left, you fall to the shoulder. You fall backwards, you are falling on God. Why? You are in Him. Don't you get it? You are in Him. So you have that consciousness. The sickness that will kill God first.
I said it.
Have it in your mind. Say, what will touch me will touch my father first. Why? I'm in him. I'm in him. That's where I am. What will touch me will have to touch my father first. I may be experiencing it, but you can't kill me. You can't kill me. Have that consciousness. It makes God happy when his children understand where they are. It makes God happy when his children understand who they are and whose they are. If you are in God, in his name, and he's a fortress round about you, Satan will always shoot his dart. Will he hit you? So if nothing can kill God, nothing can kill you. Do you understand it? You will just give up when the Lord says, come home. Do you get that? If nothing can touch God, you are sure of that. That's why you can say what I said. I know, whatever it is called, it can't touch my Father God. It can't touch me. So I'll go ahead and do what he wants me to do. Nothing will happen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:31, please. I want us to read that. Romans 8:31. What then shall you say of these things? Shall we say to these things?
If God is for us, who, what can be against us?
Are you with me?
If God is for you, what can be against you? What can be against you?
I was just having a thought. I said, God is actually bold and is decisive. So, boy, it seems to me that he has a lot of timid children and fearful children. It seems that we want to say that God gave birth to timid children. Fearful children. You see that there's something wrong with that, right? So a lion should best a lion. So you see that if we are fearful, it is that there is a nature of God we are yet to understand and come into. Hallelujah. Now, like I said, it is beautiful to be sure that God is leading you. You know that what you are doing is what God wants you to do. But please always remember that God is good. He will never leave you in the ditch. Do you understand? Don't always think that you are getting into error. You remember what I was saying about the brain? The more you do that, the more you are training your brain to think that every instruction you receive has to be error. It needs to be analyzed several times to come to the doing part. Amen? It needs to be analyzed and reanalyzed and analyzed and analyzed. So when you want to make decisions, it's chaotic. Because the brain will not be bringing plenty information to you. Okay, let's be analyzing them one by one. You bring this one. You analyze. By the time you are done, you are as confused as when you first began. Amen? So, but why we started, that is why we started with the spiritual part, the priesthood. Because when you are in tune with God, it's easy to make decisions. It's easier to make decisions. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking, who told David to fight Goliath? Who gave him the instruction to go fight, to go face Goliath? Did he hear a voice? Holy indignation. The zeal of the Most High. A man has eaten the word so much so he realizes that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. So though I face off with Goliath, I fear no evil.
The word has become flesh. So I see Goliath, the response, the reflex action is no, this one is coming down. It's not time to pray. It's time to do. It's time to express the power of God. Do you understand? It's not when you see, when no, that thing has come on you. Ah, you are now struggling with so many things. Ah, look, God did not say, my son, it is you we have been waiting for. Go and fight Goliath. No, there was no time for that. In fact, he was even asking, what would they give me? What would they give me? So, like, think about this thing. I won't even do it in vain. I have to get a reward. Since all of you couldn't, do you understand? Let me even get something out of it, because I'm sure that my God will not leave me. The Lord is my shepherd. He guides me. So what was the guarantee that I will fling and hit? Do you get? What's the guarantee that I hit? I'm trying to stone. You know, do you get? What's the guarantee that I'll hit and it will land on her forehead? Because you have shown faith in God, He will guide the stone to where it should hit. Did you see him drawing velocity? You know, force. It was mass times acceleration. No, there was no time for that. He just walked. You know, knowing that God is with me. And God said, that's my man. Let me show off. Let's do this. Let's do this. We are kings. God is looking for men who will bring his kingdom on earth. Who will truly say, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in my space as it is in heaven. If you will step out, God has resources. He has resources. If you step out, you will see his hand. If you step out of the boat, you will see you will not sink. And even if you are sinking, he didn't step away. He's just a hand away. A call away. He didn't say to Peter, you foolish son of mine. How dare you doubt? Sink small. Now sink it to go down. Forgive your neck. Do you understand? He didn't say that to him. Let me wait small. Maybe when you're an amount, at least he will go to like 2 scoops of water. No! As soon as the call came, he's there. He just said, why did you doubt? I'm right there. Every step of the way. Nobody told David. He just was in tune with God. When you read about Apostle Paul, when he had a dream, the Bible says, and a man beckoned on him to come to Macedonia. See, that was all the instruction. You know, they got up and said, I perceive that the Lord will have us go to Macedonia. And they started going to Macedonia. No, we didn't have to do a 3 days fast to be sure. They head off to Macedonia. We are being led. They wanted to get to Asia. They were stopped. Do you understand? We are on the move. We are doing what comes to us to do. When you shouldn't go, the Lord will let us get there. So if he stayed in his house, I mean, Macedonia, okay. He will see that you'll be out of God's plan every time. I'm praying that the Lord will awaken spiritual giants in this house. That we will awake unto righteousness. We'll get into what God wants us to and be doing it knowing that we have a God. Knowing that we are greatly backed. If a military officer wants to do something in this junction now, he's aware that 82 DV, that Barrett is just there. He will so mess you up. Because you can't do it. Just a call away. Plenty trucks of soldiers will land here. Do you understand? There's a consciousness I have backing. He can do anything he wants to do, knowing that nothing will happen. God will have us trust his might and his willingness to be there, to back us up. Hallelujah.
Sometimes when you are overthinking ideas, overthinking instructions, is a symptom of fear. It's a symptom of fear. What if? What if? All of that is fear. But we rub it very well and say, we are waiting on the Lord. But actually, you are afraid. Don't get me wrong. I teach that people and we should wait on the Lord. But I'm saying that there are times the Lord will give you, you have waited and the Lord had instructed, why are you still waiting? Why are you still waiting?
Say, the Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. The Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. Say that.
But of power, of love, and of sound mind. See, I have sound mind. I am able to do what God has called me to do because I have the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus.
I want to read something to you that I found when I was just thinking about how the brain works. It's a bit, not too long, not too short. Should I read? Okay. The brain is meant to be trained. I've said that. It says, a scientific understanding of the brain has moved away from the idea that our mental capacity is fixed, demonstrating instead that the brain is highly adaptable and remodels itself in response to how it is used. Amen? So now, this concept is supported by the following scientific principles. Number one, neuroplasticity. Use it or lose it. The brain has an innate ability known as neuroplasticity to reorganize itself by forming new neural connections throughout life. If the brain is not regularly challenged, neural pathways can weaken, leading to a decline in cognitive function. Is it plenty English? Thank God. So if this brain is not regularly challenged, it leads to cognitive decline. You see that? Begins to. So no, when you are reading that and it's not entering, do what? Keep reading. It's like a tunnel that is blocked. The more you are doing, hitting it, the more it's opening. The more it's opening. Before you know it, the path goes through. Do you understand? So keep at it. You are learning something is seeming hard. It's because the brain is trying to form a new neural path. So as you keep learning, keep pushing, it will go through. And before you know it, you've mastered it. All right? So. Another one, muscle analogy. Similar to physical muscles, the brain strengthens when it is challenged, fed, and allowed to rest. Challenging mental activities such as learning a new language, instrument, or complex skill act as exercise that increases brain volume and connectivity. See that? So when you learn, trying to learn new things, you are just like muscles. When you start up exercise now, your body will resist. You know, if I want to build, I used to have 4 packs. Amen. But before I started to see the symptom or the sign of the 4 packs, I used to have a pouch down here. So the more you are doing those exercises for the tummy, the more you feel like you're going to die. But you know what? Just say to it, Yakubu, manage. It will feel like you're going to die, but you won't die. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Tell your body, keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Hallelujah. See? So the more I was enduring, before you realize the dumbbells you couldn't carry before now seem too small, you go to a higher one. Why? You so exercise the muscles that they have adapted to this. You now go to a higher one. Now, the higher one will now become a bit of a struggle. The more you stay there, the more you get used to it. It's the same way with our brains. Do you understand? I'm explaining these things to us because the Spirit of God does not delete your brain work. It does not play boss to your brain function.
Amen.
And most times we let our brain talk us out of what God will have you do. And we trained it to do that.
Hallelujah.
So whatever it is that is seems like a struggle, just tell your body, keep at it. Manage. We will not die. We will not die. We will not die. We will get through this. And true, you won't die. Amen. You come out of it. Another one, novelty over repetition. Routine makes the brain check out and go on autopilot. To truly train the brain, it needs novelty and to be stretched beyond its comfort zone. Okay? Regular cognitive training is essential for building cognitive reserve, a buffer that helps maintain brain function and can delay the onset of dementia and Alzheimer's. Amen? But you get the point. Praise God. So then, the power of rest. Just as overtraining can hurt muscles, overloading the brain without rest causes mental fatigue and reduced performance. Sleep is particularly crucial. Amen. Acting as the brain's night shift to remove waste and consolidate memories. So when you rest, your brain can consolidate memories, helps you retain information. When you rest your brain. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll be asking, how does this one concern us now? Amen. It concerns us because there are things, you see. Now look at the house, the work that was done in this house. We prayed, amen? And we've been praying, and we continue praying. So assuming we wanted to do this work, and we planned it, and we said, okay, let's pray for 21 days. After we prayed for 21 days, the Lord says, okay, go ahead and do the work. Will prayer begin the work? What will do it? Should be somebody that knows how to draw a plan will draw it. Somebody that knows how to mix cement will mix cement. Somebody that knows how to mold block will mold block. Somebody that knows how to plaster will plaster. Somebody that knows how to do BOP, lightings. Every skill will now come together to do it. Does the brain sleep when all of this has to happen? We use the brain. See where I'm going. The Lord is raising from this house a people of influence. And very importantly, a people who know their onions. People who know what they are doing. And they are doing it well. When you are running a business, you are not going to tell people, I'm a Christian, do business with me. Do you understand? Is that I know what I'm doing. And now I have two-factor authentication, which is the Holy Ghost, who enables me to be even more excellent. Do you understand? Enables me to be even more excellent. So I'm not going to say, so now, you know, we have people who run schools and they show it as Christian schools. They put it out as Christian schools. I think that's good. However, you know that there are people that will not come into that school because everybody knows that this is what it is. Right? Now, this is my personal opinion. I think that it can be a standard school, a good school, without that being the overall catch, so that everybody can gain entrance into the school and you catch them and give them the spirit you have. Do you understand? So I'm running a business. I don't put it Chisom Apostle, Chisom Naji Enterprise. So that when you are coming, you know that a woman of God shop, you enter. There are people that will never enter your shop. I beg you, if I thought these apostles, because let's leave them. Let's go and do with our fellow people. Do you understand? But when you just have a name like a regular person running a business, and they come into your shop, you are talking with the person, you know that your brain is sound. You know what you are doing. You can deliver on the assignment, on the job you are doing. And thank God for God. He will bring conversations, bring up opportunities for you to do what? Give the person the Jesus you have. Amen. Are you still with me? Do you understand what I said? Now, that's my personal opinion. All right? That's my personal opinion. However, I know that Jesus will go and sit with what? Sinners. He will go and drink with people who One, I know who I am. I know what I have. I've come here to take as it is in heaven and put it down on earth here. The salt will never salt a pot of soup except it leaves the container. Do you understand? As long as it's in the container, it's salt. It has the capacity to make a pot of soup sweet. But until it leaves that container into the pot, it can't do anything. It can't do much. That is why we don't salt in church. We live here and we get out there into the darkness and we salt our earth. We salt our city. You are kings and you are priests. See, go back to your space. That is the word of God to you. And bring heaven on earth there. Say to that space, thy will be done, God's will be done right here as it is in heaven. And you know what it means is that there are things already there. There are things already reigning in your space that you need to superimpose the presence of God there. I'm saying that when you need to say, no. There's something that's already working in the opposite direction. And you're saying, this is not supposed to be like this. You are now saying it has to be like this. You're not agreeing with God to say, thy will be done in this place as it is in heaven. God wants us to go out and begin to learn how to be what he has called us to be and learn it well. So you are writing, you learn to write excellently, write well, learn all the things you need to learn about writing. You are pastoring, learn to pastor well. Learn to be a good pastor. Learn to communicate well. Learn to be, you know, have a heart for people. They can be learned. How don't you see pastors that are very angry? You know, if you do anyhow, you say, no, get out of here. They will tell you, walk out. I'll curse you. You've not gone into somebody's shop. Best is because just go. Carry your problem and be going. You came to buy something from somebody. The person is telling you, please carry your problem and be going out of my shop. Would Jesus market like that? The person is lacking customer service skill. Do you understand? So we should know how to deal with our customers. We should learn it. I remember once, one of my old mamas there, I was in a shop and we were gisting. You know, she believes in holy water. She used to have it in her shop. So one man just came there and started to price her. You know, he priced rest of ego, and he said, was pricing it. You know what she did? She didn't say a word. She brought her holy water and started spraying it. You see that? In her mind, she's spiritual. She's spiritual, actually. Anyway, extra. She's extra. She's a spraying it. You know, like, Biko. There are things we can learn to do and do it well. Amen? When you deliver well, you tell people that Jesus delivers well. It's not that they should be saying, oh, these church people, leave them. No, it is if you want it done well, go to church people. Go to church people. So learn it. Your brain, and that thing I was, this thing I was, all this is brain thing I'm talking about is boost leadership 101. Okay, no, pre-boost leadership. So on Saturday, if you miss it, your brain will not be happy with you. Amen. So on Saturday is our boost. Is it on Saturday, yeah? Yeah, boost leadership. So plan to be there. Is that one plan? If you're a worker, be there. Amen. Try and be there. Praise God. God is good. Proverbs 22:29, the Bible says, seest thou a man diligent in his works, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. So we learn to do and deliver our skills, and that's part of our declaration that I'm distinctively skillful in all I do. Anybody that is distinctively skillful in what they do is a person of influence, is a leader, can be set apart. People will be drawn to the person. He knows he will deliver.
if they give you shirts to sew, one hand is longer than one hand. The person will not want to give you something again, not give you a material again. Do you understand? So it's okay to start that way, but you will not stay there. Learn. Bend down and learn it well. Praise the Lord. So diligence, what is the diligence? I took our time to get the dictionary explanation of that or meaning of that. It says steady, earnest, energetic effort, persistent and careful hard work. Persistent and careful hard work. Remember, we have been graced. We've agreed, Abby. We are graced. So whatever you are doing, put energy into it. Put strength into it. Put effort into it. Do it with all of your heart. Do it with all of your might. Do it well. Do it well. And to be diligent actually takes a lot of discipline. But you know what the Bible says in Hebrews 12, 11? It says, no discipline is enjoyable. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. So when you are trying to, you know, you try to get discipline in an area, it's never sweet. It's never sweet. It's never sweet. I remember when I was trying to learn to play a guitar. I had blisters all over my fingers. But they will tell you what, even without blister, keep learning it. You still keep pressing it down. It's paining you. You will keep at it. All of these things you see, they play it. And when you are learning it, it's not like that. Your fingers will pain you, will hurt you. Will hurt you. But you do what? You stay on it. No discipline is enjoyable. So should we not be disciplined because it's not enjoyable? No. Know what God wants in place where you are and enforce it there. Amen? Know what God wants you to do and enforce it there. The Bible says what you bound is bound. What you approve is approved. What you lose is lost. Did he really say it? I'm going to end as 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Put that up in message translation for me, please. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, message translation. You are the one with the authority to set things right. Amen. You are the one with the authority to set things right. And the Lord has given us a mandate. Go and set your world on the right path because you are kings. That's the work of kings. Dominion. Do you understand? Dominion. That's the work of kings. He says the world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there, right? The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. Go on. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entirely what? Massively corrupt culture. You see, you have an assignment. You have an assignment. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies. Can you rise to your feet? We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. This is your assignment. This is the essence of your kingship. That everywhere where you are, you don't have to tie a turban or, you know, wear a sticker on your head, but you carry Christ. You are Christ. He says, as he is, so are we on earth. Everywhere you enter, the fragrance of Christ should be perceived there. The aroma of Christ should be perceived there. You demolish warped philosophies. You bring them down and say, thy kingdom come here. Thy will be done in the space. Hallelujah. You can do that.
I said you can do that. He says the keys of the heavens have been given to you, that what you bound is bound, what you lose is loose. It's you. Say, what I bind is bound. Say that. What I bind is bound. What I lose is loose. What I approve is approved. What I approve is approved. Hallelujah. Go ahead now. Lift your voices. I want us to pray in a minute and say, Lord, help me to awaken from slumber. You are not asking for grace. Of course, get me right. I'm saying, even when you pray for grace, you are moving. You are on the move. I hope you get that. You are doing what God is saying you should do. While you are trusting Him for grace to continue to do. Pray and say, I awaken from slumber. I awaken from waiting and waiting and waiting. Lord, I awaken from slumber. I awaken from lukewarmness. I awaken from complacency. Say, I take responsibility. I do the work the Lord has called me to do tirelessly. I do His work. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Lift your voice and begin to declare and say, I am strong. I am strong. I am empowered by God to do exploits. I get on what He has called me to do and I begin to do it. I am learning a new thing. It can be something in your heart if you want it to learn. Now say, I am starting to learn it and I'm learning it to the full. Say to yourself, I begin to learn this thing and I will learn it to the full. Go ahead and speak to yourself. Go ahead and declare words in the name of Jesus Christ. My eyes see and my ears hear. I get on what God has called me to do and I do it well. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm not wasting time. I'm not delaying anymore. I get on it. I arise from my slumber. I awake 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 from my slumber. Brethren, pray for yourself. God is counting on you. God is counting on you. God is counting on you. Go ahead and pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm able to secure as it is in heaven on earth. I'm able to agree with God to birth on my space, in my space, as it is in heaven, right there. In the name of Jesus. Oh, man, tanda la bakade vahasa. Imbroki tandi la bahaya. In that office, isha tobi la hasyanta la bahaya. Thy kingdom come. In the Cornerstone Church, Lord, Thy kingdom come. In our business places, Thy kingdom come. Darkness gives way. Light is established. Darkness gives way. Light is established. I am not weary in well-doing. I am not weary in well-doing. I do the work of He that has called me while it is day. I do the work of He that has called me while it is day. In the name of Jesus, I do not give up. I do not give in. I do not give up. I do not give in. I keep pushing until I push through. I keep pushing. I keep doing until I do it well. In the name of Jesus.
There's a reason James say faith without works is dead. Make a decision today and begin to do. Make a decision and keep at it. Now, don't decide something that is too, you know, that's too out of your, too, that will make you struggle. Decide on something and keep to it. You've been saying you will start praying. Now, today is a good day to make that decision. No, don't say you pray for 1 hour. You've never prayed for 13 minutes before. Decide 10 minutes. Decide 15 minutes. Do it every day. Every day. Say, I will never miss one day. Stay on it. If you miss it, continue the next day. Continue the next day. Keep at it. Keep at it. Open that book. Read it. 20 minutes a day. 30 minutes a day. Read it. Stay on the book. Open your Bible. Read it. Read it. You will never know how. You can't do these things. You can't demolish any stronghold if you don't know what the Bible says. If you don't know that the Bible does not say heaven helps those who help themselves, how will you say it's wrong? Do it. Don't give up on yourself. God has not given up on you. You have the grace to do. Go on and do. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to us. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for by strength shall no man prevail. Thank you because we have the strength of the Holy Ghost. Thank you because we decide to do, we've committed to do, and we begin to do. Yes, Lord, we are expanding our tents. We are enlarging our tents, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.